National Hockey League presents The Great One-on-One.
Gretzky, looking, Yari Curry, McSorley, to Gretzky!
Wayne Gretzky catches up with some of hockey's best to reflect on their past Stanley Cup runs.
5 seconds left. Puck loose in the far corner. Leopold lays it in front. Oh, Abby Bull knocks it away. 1 second left. A shot. Wide left. Yeah. It's over. Yeah. It's over. The Lightning has won the Stanley Cup. The Lightning has won the Stanley Cup.
With 2004 Stanley Cup winner Marty St. Louis, here's Wayne.
Listen, Marty, thanks for being here, and welcome to the show. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Stanley Cup and winning the Stanley Cup. So thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about winning that first Stanley Cup. Let's go back before that to the semifinals, the seven-game series that you had to overcome against the Flyers to get to the Stanley Cup Finals. Just walk us through that a little bit, to how physical and how hard that actual series was.
I mean, yeah, that series is a heavy series. We were coming off a pretty smooth sailing, winning first round in five, and then beating Montreal in four. And we had a long layover in between, which is, I found it hard to get it dialed back in. And so we're playing Philly. It was a very heavy team, you know, the Keith Primo and John LeClaire. You know, Jeremy Roenick was there. I mean, Tony was very experienced. Mark Recchi, Tony Amonte. I mean, I can keep going, but it was an experienced team. They played heavy. They were well coached. Ken Hitchcock was coaching. Coming off the break, it was tough to get going. But I think we ended up really winning the first game, losing the second, so on and so forth. And we were up 3-2 going into Philly. To close the series out, we were up a goal late, and I remember being on the ice. They pulled their goalie, and they got a really, really good bounce. And Primo tied it up, and I believe Gagne scored in overtime. And now we're, you know, going back home for Game 7. But, you know, you look back on it, and I feel back then, I mean, home ice advantage was so big. I mean, it seems like now, like, these teams are road warriors. But I don't know. I feel like back then it was huge. And we ended up, you know, winning Game 7 at home and really, you know, carrying that into, you know, a Stanley Cup final against a Calgary team who had been upsetting, you know, number one seed, the divisional leaders all the way through. So, but I felt like for us coming up such an easy round, not an easy, but, like, fortunate to just get through that in four against Montreal to now go to distance with Philly. I felt like we were ready for the grind of the final.
So then you did get in the final, and the first four games were evenly split, two games apiece. And as you talked about a little bit, how important home ice advantage was back then, and you're absolutely right. It was, to me, it was a big difference in every series. But you lose game five in overtime, which is always a tough way to lose a game, losing at home and then on top of that in overtime. How was the mood amongst your team over the next 48 hours before you had to go back to Calgary for game six?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you lose that overtime game, it could have gone either way. You end up on the wrong side of it. And, you know, I think at first, you know, the first 5-10 minutes in that dressing room, it's like everybody's trying to come up for air. And then, you know, 20-30 minutes later, you're kind of like really like, all right, you know, we'll just got to win one game and bring it back. You know, for us, that was our goal. The good thing I feel about our team that year is I felt like, you know, we had some great leadership in Dave Andrechuk, Tim Taylor, Freddie Modine, who really kept us even keel. Obviously, you're down 3-2 in the series. Like, you got to go on the road, but we just got to win one game, you know.
Right.
So you can't even worry about winning two. We got to win one game, and we went into the pressure's on them to close it out at home. The cup is there. I mean, I don't remember the Red Mile, like in Calgary, was packed. They were ready to celebrate, and you know, we go to two overtime, close game. It was tight. Could have gone either way again, but again, we won that we won that game and brought it back home, and going back to having that home ice advantage was huge. And for us, you know, it's all about momentum shift. Obviously, they had the momentum after winning game five coming home. But for us, we just felt we just got to steal that momentum back. And we just carried that into game seven.
In your career, you had a lot of great highlights and a lot of great moments, winning the MVP and the Lester B. Pearson, the Art Ross. Scored a lot of great goals, a lot of big goals. To that point in time, was that your proudest moment in scoring a goal in double overtime in game six?
No, no doubt. There'll never be a bigger goal. I mean, for me, I guess I would have to score a game seven overtime winner. So for me, it wasn't the nicest goal I've scored. I've scored some way nicer goals, but that was the most important goal. That was the most important goal I've ever scored.
Right.
And, you know, it's definitely the one that I'm probably, you know, the most proud about, because you give your team a chance to stay alive, come back home, and hopefully do this in front of our fans. And to be honest, Wayne, the game was so tight back then. This was my fifth period. It was my first shot on net.
Well, you made it a good one.
My first shot on net in that game. There wasn't much space.
Yeah, you know, as you talked about the experienced players you had, like yourself and Andrew Chuck and Taylor, the fear is sometimes to get too low after a bad loss, but there's also just a bigger fear of not to get too excited about a big win. Was the coaching staff probably very important in the older players of keeping an even keel heading and getting ready for game seven?
Yeah, you know, John Tortorella was really good like that. And Craig Ramsey was as even keel as I've ever seen. A coach, and for me, I needed that personally. I was an emotional player. My highs were really highs. My low was probably lower than some of the guys. I needed to be surrounded with that kind of mentality and culture of staying even keel, so that, you know, I didn't get wrapped up in really, you know, where we were. More like, okay, let's just go to the next one. And because I mean, I feel when your lows are so lows, you become your worst enemy. Of course, when your highs are highs, I mean, you're like a superhero,
right?
You know, you're like this big monster. But it goes the other way pretty quick when your lows are lows. So the fact that I was surrounded with guys like that were very even keel, even Brad Richard was very, very even keel guy. For me, I was up and down, and being surrounded with guys like that, and Vinny, pretty much the same, pretty even keel. So it was a good combination.
So going into Game 7, and one of the things that we always talked about when we won our first cup was that how excited we were going to be lifting the cup, and we sort of almost rehearsed it before we went out and played that final game. Was there that sense of that feeling in your locker room, or the fact that it was 3-3 is still so close to even think about that?
Yeah, no, we didn't even think about that. And, like, it's funny because I felt I was more emotional when I won the conference final. I was going to go play for the Stanley Cup. I was really emotional after the Philly win. And then when we won the cup, it's almost like it was over. There was no, I was already like, you know, it could go either way. But I didn't have the same emotion that I had when I, like, the feeling that I'm going to go play for the cup. Mm-hmm. And now we win the round and it's over. And it's like, I was excited, but I was not as emotional as I was winning the conference final. You know, and obviously a hard-fought series could have gone either way. And I was fortunate that it went, you know, my way. And you think, and I mean you I'm sure you can attest to that, but you got the opportunity to win more cups than I did. But you win the first cup, and it's like, you know, you think you're going to win more.
Yeah.
And I almost wish I realized that this could be the last one I win. So not that I didn't have fun, not that I did not enjoy it, but I might have skated a few more laps with it if I knew it was my only one.
That's what I was going to ask you. How was the first feeling or thoughts that you had when you did finally lift it for the first time? Obviously, ecstatic.
Yeah, for me, you know, it was a feeling of fulfillment. You know, my career had really taken off the prior 2 years. You know, going from, you know, the guy in the minors, third, fourth line guy, to obviously getting getting to be a go-to guy and winning the MVP and the cup. It happens very quick. And then, you know, it was like surreal. Like, not only was I, you know, putting my name on the map, but now I was actually a cup winner too. And it was like, it was definitely a feeling of fulfillment. And you think about, for me, it was thinking about my family, my mom and dad, what, you know, the stuff that they helped me as kids, just to drive me to the rinks and the early days and the early practices, and just and some of the coaches that helped me along the way, the teammates I've played with. It's almost like it flashes in your head, you know.
Yeah.
I had my firstborn was a year old. Like, I was on the ice with. It was just so surreal. I couldn't believe I was getting to experience that. This is something that I you only saw, you never touched. Or, you know, I watched a lot of, you know, Hockey Night in Canada. Obviously, I watched you, you know, win many cups in the early 80s. And like, now I was actually like, oh, my gosh, this is, I'm actually living this. And
yeah.
I just really couldn't believe it.
Yeah, and I always tell people, as great as it looks, it's even better in person, that first chance you get to win the Stanley Cup, because so many people are such a big part of it in your life. And so did you get an opportunity to take the Stanley Cup home to your hometown, or what did you do with the day with it?
Yeah, I took it to University of Vermont, where I went to school, and then I took it to my hometown too, which is 2 hours away.
Yeah.
So I got a lot of people to share it with, which was a blast. And I got to be honest, like, you know, for me, Wayne, like, I lost in 14 with the Rangers against LA. You know, we lost in 5 in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Right.
But, like, I look back at both those deep playoff run, like, they were both awesome, okay? Because
right.
Obviously winning it, that's the result.
Mm-hmm.
But just going through it, there's nothing better as a hockey player to go through 4 rounds of hockey and trying to figure it out. You're not going to be your best every time,
yeah.
But how can you help your team? You're not 100%. How can you help? How can you, you know, and the tactics in between games, the adjustments, this and that. And I got to be on both sides. The experience was just as fun.
Right.
I mean, I wish we won in New York. We didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But the ride was just as fun.
Well, listen, a couple things. One, I want to thank you. And secondly, just really reach out and say what you did, and Brad Richards and Andrew Chuck, and winning the Stanley Cup in Tampa really did so much for the growth of hockey in that area. And, of course, in Florida, you guys are a huge part of the success of the NHL down in that area. So I want to thank you so much for being on today, and congratulations on a great career.
Well, thanks, Wayne. It's an honor for me to be on a podcast with you.
Take care, man. Thanks.
Thank you. Ciao.
Thanks for listening to The Great One-on-One, a presentation of the National Hockey League. A reminder to rate, review, and subscribe for free. The NHL Podcast Network is available wherever you get your podcasts and at NHL.com. This has been an NHL Studios production.